Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 69 of the Go Get That podcast. Very nice. We'd like to start off with the congratulations to the other Jordan Spieth tracker on Twitter for his two-year anniversary, as it's just popped up onto my feed. So shout out to Mr. Gamble. Pebble Week had good results here the past 2 years. Came a few short, a lot of memorable memories. Nate Lashley almost ruining the 16th green, almost falling off the cliff. It's been a very entertaining last 2 years at Pebble Beach. Field is a little bit better than usual. Two nice little additions is Matt Fitzpatrick and Victor Hovland will be playing this year. I believe Mr. Fitzpatrick has played before. Mr. Hovland is not. So, yeah, should be a good one. Safe to say that last week, Mr. Stefan Jaeger did not sack up on the weekend. Very unfortunate, but we're going to have to bounce back this week with some winners. So,
yeah, I mean, as you said, a happy anniversary to Mr. the other Spieth tracker on Twitter. He's a big fan of the podcast. So,
huge fan of the podcast. One of our day one supporters.
We had to throw that in there. And then, I feel like I always say we're back, but I think we're back for real this time. Jordan's got, is it 7 of 9? Dan, is it 7 of 9?
I think that's right. It's a lot. And
a lot of golf. I actually was talking to my dad a couple of days ago. He's a big Spieth fan. But not like big like us, but I was talking to him. And I'm like, Dad, Jordan's about to play a lot in these upcoming weeks. He's like, yeah, I even read an article about that. And I'm like, really? There's an article about how much he's playing? And lo and behold, I look up and there's an article from Sports Illustrated mentioning that Jordan Spieth is going to be playing a ton of golf. And that is the truth. This is the start. And of the events coming up, it might be his best chance to grab a win. So that's exciting.
Yep. Definitely. Definitely best chance, I think, to win coming up. Safe to say that your dad is an alpha for that. Always nice to see Spieth fans all around. Just had to throw that in there. So, Dan, you can continue.
Well, yeah, you know, nothing like Pebble Beach, right? I mean, we just doesn't feel like that long ago, but at the same time, it feels like a long time ago that we were previewing this event last year and kind of saying similar things that we're probably going to say today, just about course history, all that kind of stuff. And you'll see that in our picks, but also when it comes to Spieth, right? It's course history here is a big deal. And if Spieth doesn't play well this week, it is not a good sign going forward. I'm sure we'll get into expectations for the week shortly, but this is a week that you kind of expect good things. The whole Pro-Am vibe, the AT&T sponsor, it'll be all over his left sleeve again. Yeah, the AT&T logo at the AT&T event, nothing better than that. But really, like, this should be a week where quality golf is played and name is on the first page of the leaderboard, especially given the field. I know you mentioned Fitzpatrick. He's played pretty well here. I think he had T12 at the U.S. Open here and T6, I want to say, last year. And then Hovland won the U.S. Am here, I believe. So, or at least played really well. I think he won it. So, even though he hasn't played this event before, he's obviously played well here. So two good names, but then after that, certainly a drop off in the quality of the golfer, so to speak. The high end talent is whoa, getting ready for Phoenix next week. But we've certainly got some good, definitely made my betting card kind of interesting this week.
Definitely a very interesting betting week. Some people that you usually see, you know, in different usually as long shots or kind of middle of the pack. Some of the funniest things I've seen this week is Maverick McNealy at 18-1 is and Matt Kuchar -220 to top 40 is also a rarity, but it's a fun week. I feel like this is a very predictable course. It's a lot of the same names every year. I don't know where it ranks in terms of the like course predictability, like course history rating, but
it's got to be pretty high.
It's got to be pretty high. I mean, it's usually the same people here, and I tried to convince myself to put Nate Lashley on the card, and he's been playing brutally. But I mean, he's just someone who's always here, and I really want to put him on. And I could never come around to it. So, but it's a weird week. There are a lot of people that are just really, it's some interesting odds, and it'll be fun. It's a weird sort of like preview for what's coming up next. Three very different courses. And then we obviously go into the desert as we continue along the West Coast swing. So I'm looking forward to it. It's always one of my favorite weeks of the year because it's always one of Spieth's best chances to win. So
yeah, and it based on what the weather says should happen this week, I think it'll be a pretty fun week. Sunday looks tough, like just heavy winds, some rain. Yeah,
clubs.
Right, exactly. With the wind coming off the ocean out there, it'll be chaos on Sunday. And Thursday's tough as well. I know tee times just dropped, so we'll get into those. It's pretty late, about 9. We're recording this on a Tuesday. But so if you're, you know, looking at betting stuff, definitely look at tee times because that's going to matter. You have to look at the rotation as well. I'm not sure. My guess is it's Spyglass, Monterey, Pebble for Spieth this week.
Yes, sir.
So if you start at Monterey, you're gonna follow that with Pebble, and then you go to Spyglass for the other golfers. So,
which I think is the worst draw of the week.
Yeah. We'll see what it is. I think
Spyglass on Saturday. I mean, Spieth has the best draw of the week, I think.
Yeah.
I actually think. I think Pebble, Spyglass, Monterey is probably the worst one of the week.
Yeah, but, if you're starting at Pebble, Thursday, I mean, we were talking about this before we got on. Thursday, the wind's going to pick up in the afternoon. Spyglass is the most tree-lined, so in theory, it won't play. It's a tough course, but in theory, it won't play too much harder because of the wind. Pebble, on the other hand, it'll be blowing over at Pebble quite a bit. Monterey's easy regardless, but it's a little bit more exposed than, Spyglass as well. So if you're starting on Pebble that afternoon, Thursday afternoon is going to be, it's going to be hard, at least is what they're saying right now. So, and it's not going to be super warm either. It's like high 50s, low 60s. So guys are going to have to grind this week. It feels a little, it feels a little open-ish in the weather conditions, but it's, you know, Pebble Beach, so it's a long ways away from all the opens that you might consider. But certainly take a glance at the weather, especially for stuff like first round leaders. You can probably find some decent odds.
Yeah, so a funny thing about that is I have no first round leaders on my card, which I wouldn't have anyways because it's just a weird week, and it's just not really a week I want to get into first round leaders, but first round leader bets aren't even available yet because the tee times just came out. So,
Well, I think
they won't be out until probably another 2 hours. So
I think a lot of top 40 bets might be waiting too.
So there's top 40 on Barstool. Look there. Top 40 on Bet365. Top 40 on
MGM.
But those odds are very different. So
yeah,
BetMGM has all ties paid in full. I was explaining this to Dan. We don't do that here. We're just taking the full. If we're just doing top 40 and ties, just because it's easier to put together. But BetMGM, I would suggest betting him BetMGM at worse odds if you can get them in full if you're actually placing. But Yeah, if you, I want to get into the course a bit. One of my favorite things I've looked in now for a few weeks is, I know last week we talked about this, how the most important stat of the week was how it was approach shots from over 200 yards. I want to know what you guys think is the most important stat this week, according to the models, of course. If you guys have any guesses.
I don't know this week, because again, like, it's a three course week. I mean, if we're just going solely off of Pebble.
Yeah, does it apply only to Pebble, or just
it applies to the entire week?
Okay. So I wouldn't know then. I'd assume hitting fairways, because you gotta hit, you gotta play from the fairway and Pebble. A lot of wedges. I'm looking right now, 100 to 125 yards is,
yeah. I was gonna say like 75 to 100, but
you could throw 75 to 125.
Okay, so
yeah.
Interestingly enough, the driving accuracy is the least important stat this week.
Really?
I wonder if that's
part of that is just because of the distance. It's just,
yeah, they take
not very long.
Club. Yeah.
But yeah, so the most important category this week is wedge shots under 125 yards and in.
Yeah.
So that'll be very important this week. That's always a fun thing to look at, just because kind of shows you what you got to have. It really narrows down the players, and there are a lot of players that just play well in all the short courses. I mean, you look at the Danny McCarthys of the world, the Kevin Kisners of the world. I mean, I know I'm always down to take Kis. I can't get myself to do it this week. He's just playing too poorly right now, but I'll save that for the match play, of course. But yeah, there are a lot of people who just play well on short courses. Jordan Spieth can play well at really any course lengthwise. That's not really what determines how he's playing. But yeah, definitely not too hard to understand. The driving accuracy did shock me a bit, but again, it's not US Open rough. And it's a pretty, they shorten it up a bit compared to the US Open. So
it's another. Yeah, really... I want to come clean real quick. I have not made my card yet. I only have one play on it. FanDuel went down, they're still down. So I do not have my full card yet. We'll get into our bets later. I have one, though. I did get one in before FanDuel went down.
You can look at some of the other sites.
I can. I don't want to get my full card yet. I am leading, so I need to do my full research. So I can
understood playing it safe in the lead. Don't worry. I'm very confident that Jordan will not top the leaderboard at the end of the year.
I don't know if it's playing it safe. I think he's just playing it correctly. I don't know. It's like the only one to be positive for a week, right? So
I had a good week last week, but yeah. Just
betting is not a short term game, Mister.
That's very true.
Olson.
It might be. It might be when you're playing one outright a week, though.
Well, he hasn't hit an outright though.
No, but like neither of you.
Correct.
And neither have I.
Correct.
So it's like,
I'm actually curious how many outrights.
You guys hit any outrights last year?
We only had one. Jordan did.
Who did I hit?
Zalatoris at WGC.
Yeah.
I did?
But I hit a bigger bet than you, because I hit Rory, first round leader at API.
Yeah.
Which won me 500, and that was the biggest bet of the year.
Yeah.
Which
I
was
had
sick.
I had Matsuyama top. I had a good week at the Sony. And
yeah,
then
you had Matsuyama top 10 for like a lot. Right?
I had him, I think I had him top 5, and I had him top rest of world or something like that.
Yeah,
I remember
but
that.
I bottled it all away within a month. I was back in the red. So
fair enough.
I've upped my game a little bit. I mean, it's not going so well this week, but I almost hit on some bets. I'll get into those later. But
I think it's important to mention that Jordan Spieth is playing with Ryan Palmer and podcast legend Brian Roberts again.
Thank
this
you
year.
Very much. Mr. Cart for bringing that up.
That's important to note.
Absolutely. That will bring the best in Jordan's game.
Do you want the do you want to just say the tee times? What they are? Do you have
them
in front of you?
I don't have them in front of me, so
I can handle it. So Thursday off Spyglass at 9:25 local, off the first tee. Friday 8:41 AM local off the 10th tee
at Monterey.
And then Saturday, this makes sense just for CBS reasons, 109 in the 109 Eastern, 10:09 local off Pebble, the first tee. So Yeah, because Hovland's right after him, and Fitzpatrick is then after Hovland, so you kind of see what CBS is, you know.
Yeah, they always format like that, so.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. You don't want a Saturday coverage with, I mean, I don't know, like David Lipsky and Ben Griffin as your main groups. I like those guys this week, but
I like them a lot.
So. Yeah, I do. I do too. We'll get into that, but
do not be surprised if Mr. Lipsky walks away with the trophy this week.
I would not mind that.
Little tease there, apparently.
Really, Dan? Really? Wow.
Potentially.
Dan's leeching.
It may not be. Let's may not be my my favorite outcome.
Now, this could be a scandal. What if Jordan's waiting to see our pick so that he just copies us and doesn't lose his lead no matter what?
I can guarantee you I is not
one of us. I've seen what you want to do, Bob, and I've seen where Jordan has already gone with his. And I can tell you we have some differences.
Some differences. I'm disappointed to hear that you're leeching off my picks.
I'm not leeching. I just called good research. You have your I don't even have your models, and I'm still coming up with the same.
Well, answer. I am the models now,
Mr. Model.
I'm just
Mr. Models.
You might be Mr. Model, but you're not Mr. Comcast Brian Roberts.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Carp. I'm looking at your picks right now, and I don't hate them. I do not. Yeah.
Of course, because they're basically your picks too. So
nice of Bob to be in the red.
But none of them are picks. My.
They're not the same.
Odd picks. So.
Yeah. I'd agree. We'll get into it. We're talking a lot about any thoughts about Spieth. What do we see?
Yeah, we got to get into that.
I think it's a runaway victory personally. I've been high on this week for a lot, which means get your Spieth miscut bets in. But I love him this week. People are not liking him. He's been at the lowest of lows and played well at this tournament. This is the tournament that's sort of like, this was the first glimpse of anything when he shot the 67 in the final round and then slowly led to the nice week at Colonial. And then obviously the very next year he had that resurgence. But I'm feeling great about I'm feeling great about Spieth this week, which is probably unfortunate for everyone else.
I don't know about that. I mean, I second your thoughts. I think I've said this, and we've said this on the podcast quite a few times. We watched more Jordan than anyone else.
Correct.
And I'm not bragging or anything, but I think that we know his game more than probably anyone else, which is – I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't want anyone to get mad here. I'd say more than 99% of the population on planet Earth, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've also seen some of the experts that are fading him this week. And I'm fine with that. I think, you know, they have their opinions. We have our opinions. I'd be pretty shocked if Jordan's not in the picture this week. You know, he's already this year. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I mean, there's elite rounds of golf being played, which is something that just was not a common theme last year. I mean, he's had, don't get me wrong, the second round of Sony was abysmal, but nothing comes to mind at this golf course that he's played, 30 rounds on, where he's just absolutely played terrible. And I've seen the signs this year already to be pretty confident, especially with the weaker field, that he will be in the mix come Sunday.
The ceiling, to your point, the ceiling this year has been quite high in rounds, right? We've seen three rounds that have been good to great to elite scoring. And then we've seen the floor has been pretty low, but he's killed it here. Like, he, out of the guys who have played here five times, Spyglass, he's number one in scoring average at like a 67 or something ridiculous like that. And Spyglass is this par 72, tough course. Spieth kills it there. He's like 12th at Pebble or 7th at Monterey, or maybe those are flipped, but he kills it here.
To build off what you said, he's the only player in the field who's top 10 strokes gained on all three courses.
Yeah.
So that's very good to see. And another thing that really helps our case, because we always get on his behind for this every tournament, is that he starts at Spyglass almost every year. I think last year he started at Monterey, but he usually starts at Spyglass. It's very hard to shoot yourself out of the tournament at Spyglass because it's the hardest course. You can shoot one or two over at Spyglass and still have a chance, which is a little nice, because I mean, I think you can look for a 200, 300 round at Spyglass and you're probably the favorite going into Friday. So I really like that setup for him. And I really think that, again, not shooting himself out of it on Thursday is always a key for him. I'd love to see something in the 60s, but again, we'll really know what's going on with the week middle of the round at Monterey, because he's going to have to take Monterey low, which he usually does, but he's going to need probably at least a 4 or 5 under there to win, maybe more. And he's going to need a good weekend. I mean, he struggled the past few years to close it out. Last year he ran to prime Tiger Woods. No bogey hoagie on the back, which is devastating. But yeah, I mean, it's just everything, the stars just kind of align, right? Like it's a week that we look forward to every year because of this reason. And even when he's not playing well, it's the same thing with Colonial. It's just every year he can win here with his B minus game. And that's just something that doesn't come very often on the PGA Tour.
Yeah,
and not he owns this place.
Right. Not to get people's hopes up too high, but you know, this could be one of those weeks. I know a lot of like experts have been not necessarily on the Spieth train this week. I think a lot of that just has to do with they see the 75 at Sony and then they see just the value on him. But it seems like one of those weeks where maybe the experts overthink it, right? And it's like, this guy's the best course fit. He's one of the best players in the field. Like, in theory, it makes a lot of sense that Jordan Spieth should win this tournament. But then you look at other things and it like distracts you from the main thing. That's like the two most important factors, is that he plays well here and he's good. Right. So we'll see if that's one of those weeks. Could be. I kind of have that feeling that he'll be relevant this week. Very, very much so. And I know the experts have been kind of fading, but I think that's just an over evaluation of that miscut at the Sony, because you don't shoot a 64 and then not play well, especially with the numbers, the statistics that he put up behind the 64. So ball striking and wedges should be fine. But you know, it starts at Spyglass on Thursday. Anything like a 70 is great at Spyglass. So I wouldn't have too many expectations to be on the first page of the leaderboard after day one, but
yeah, but you can't. That's just how it is.
Yeah, certainly by day two, day three, come Sunday, right? Yeah. Obviously, you want to be right near the top.
If he's on the first page of the leaderboard at the Spyglass, like, you know, he's doing good.
If he's on the first page of the leaderboard after Thursday, anything but a win is a brutal disappointment.
That's fair. I mean, I can only assume what the betting odds will be if he is. You know.
I mean, if he's on the first page of the leaderboard after Thursday, that's at least -5, I think. -4, -5.
Yeah. I will see.
The leader will be probably around -8.
Yeah, because Monterey is just so easy.
-9, -10 is out there for sure. Probably won't happen, but it's out there. Yeah.
We'll see if that wind kicks up. If it does,
I'd love to see it kick up.
It might stay around 6, but still, even then, like two.
Yeah,
two.
I do like Mr. Spieth's chances this week, to say the least.
Yeah, so. I set the bar at like a T20. It's just
great. Yeah. I mean, going into this week, it's one of those, talk about like, it just kind of fits. It's kind of the harbor town of the West Coast. Like,
yeah,
open and short and a lot of wedges and small greens. And then it's kind of like
there's
the Colonial of the West. Like,
there are some crazy names to play here. Like, they go into the depths of the PJ Tour cards to fill this field. I still can't believe Ted Potter won this tournament.
Yeah.
I think he won probably... 700-1.
Yeah. Shocking.
How does that even happen? That's like DA points has better odds than that this week.
Yeah. Potter just knows how to. He's a wizard.
He's a wizard. The wizard. But yeah, I'd say the bar at T20 is right about where I'm at as well. It's a course that he owns. It's three courses that he owns.
Right. We obviously don't have like featured group stuff yet, but when that comes out, I'm
hopeful that he will be. I'm pretty sure that he will be a featured group.
Yeah, he'll be obviously.
Not only he is the feature of the tournament.
At Pebble, he'll get shown for sure. It's just I don't know if he'll get shown both days at Monterey.
He probably won't get any coverage on Spyglass because that course never gets any coverage. But
yeah,
which is my usual gripe is that Spyglass is the best.
Yeah, it's the
it definitely is.
Yeah, they really should get more. But
some would say, and this is my opinion personally, just golf course design wise, and this is crazy to think about, but I think that Pebble is the worst of the three, just design wise.
Sure. Yeah, I agree.
I'd rather play Pebble than just because of the history, but Pebble's the. Some would say Pebble's the worst of the four in that area if you include Cypress. So it's very interesting that there's so many good golf courses within, I don't even know, like probably 15 square miles, maybe not even, which is crazy. So it's such quality golf courses these next few weeks, but especially this week. I mean, I have three of these, and it really stinks that Cypress is too short to play on the tour, because what a gem that is. It's just it really stinks that we can't get feature group coverage out to these other two courses with all the money that they have. I've been on this for years. It's just like there are so many horrible courses that they play on tour and they give coverage to, and they can't put Monterey and Spyglass on. It stinks, because they're such good golf courses, so fun to watch. But it should be a fun week.
Yeah, I'm gonna tinfoil hat here, and I don't have any confirmation, but Jordan is off at 12:25 Eastern, round one. ESPN Plus has a stream that is scheduled to start at 12:15 Thursday. Mm. And it's the featured group coverage. It's not the marquee group, so it won't be every shot, which would make sense, I would think. I don't think they'd make him the marquee group at Spyglass. I think the featured group would be easier, I think. It's just a tinfoil hat, but the fact that stream starts 10 minutes prior to him teeing off, at least, you know.
Yeah, and it's probably pretty close to the Fitzpatrick Hovland tee times as well, I'd imagine. Yeah, so
because they're back to back,
right? And I mean, Ryan Palmer, like, you know, he had a bad time here last year, but he's one of the more, I don't want to say like bigger names, but like more known guys as well. So it's certainly not Spieth DJ here.
Disappointing
Pebble, but
in complete honesty, like, there's no one else in the field that is deserving of feature group coverage. Like, I'm not even trying to be mean, I'm just looking at some of these names on the other courses.
Yeah,
like, I don't know how you do not feature, like, there's no one here. I guess Justin Rose is playing with Chad Ramey.
Team Rose,
yeah. Well, they might just have the marquee group at Pebble or something every day. You know,
yeah, I guess that's fair because they have most of the cameras. But I mean,
they might try and shove the McNeely agenda down my throat.
When does McNeely even play?
I can't believe that. I mean,
he starts on Spyglass, but he's with Cody Gribble.
Yeah.
Feature Gareth Bale. That would be something.
Give the people what they want. I mean,
they should feature more interesting celebrities. I feel like that would be pretty cool.
Who's Josh Allen play with?
Oh, that's a good question. He
I will
is
not
playing...
be tuning in, no matter who he's playing with.
Josh Allen is playing with Heath Mitchell. I think that's who he played with last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
They're on Spyglass.
It's a good pairing.
He's with Kevin Chappell. Like,
Kevin Chappell is a known Pebble player. He plays well here, I think.
I think I might be asking for the followers of the podcast to boycott ESPN if Spieth isn't featured.
We could call on such boycott. Never know.
I actually need to see if we can reach John McGinnis to see if he has any. Because I know John McGinnis does not want to walk around these scores.
John McGinnis does not want to watch Chad Ramey. I can promise you that. Now, congrats to Ramey on winning this week. But, I can't see us not being featured if that's when the stream is. But, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It always is. It's always a mystery. But, yeah. So, do we have anything else on the course?
Just the Jake Owen effect. I think you know.
Thank you.
I mean, Jordan's played here 11 times.
Yep.
He has T22 or higher 10 of the 11 times. And the other one was a T45 in 2019. I think we would be lying to ourselves if Jake Owen did not have any effect on that.
Oh, absolutely. I
think Jordan's a lot looser.
Absolutely. Jake Owen is the one who puts the team on the map in the early going, usually. You remember last year he made like an eagle and he made like a 2 on a par 4 and was like 5 under to like 7. But like,
Jake Owen's good too. Like that.
Jake Owen is very good. Jake Owen is very good.
Spieth doesn't want to get lapped by his amateur partner.
Absolutely not. He definitely pushes Spieth to keep up the pace, which always gives them a chance to be on the team leaderboard, which is nice. I wish there was a bet this week as to if the Fitzgerald Streelman team would ever pop up on the first page of the leaderboard, because I would put all of my Go Get That points on that bet, because they are a lock to be on the leaderboard at some point. They are truly Pebble merchants. I wonder if any of you guys will have Streelman on your card, because he was one of the last people I cut off.
I don't, but
Mr. Streelman, no matter what form he is in, always plays well at the courses that he plays well at. There's like 3 or 4.
Well, he's the Wizard of Streel.
Yeah, it's every year. And Pebble's one of them. I don't know what the other, but he's always up on the leaderboard at certain courses, no matter how bad he's been playing. So I'm kind of regretting not taking him now.
Well, he emceed here last year, I'm pretty sure.
Really? So,
I think so.
Oh, yeah, because didn't he have like a 78 round one?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
He was in the group in front of us.
It was crazy.
It was the Streelman and Palmer disaster.
Yep.
Palmer shot 80. Yeah, that was
tragic. Speaking of disasters, just a reminder that the rounds will be quite slow.
Oh, they will be.
They will be brutal.
It will be. And make sure you're multitasking in some way. Definitely.
Especially if there's no feature, it'll be brutal.
There is a above 50% chance at least one of the rounds this week at 6 hours. Which is brutal.
Well, Ryan Palmer can help the cause this year.
But when you're playing in foursomes and you're playing with Mr. Comcast, it's what are you going to do? I mean, Larry the Cable Guy is going to be two groups in front of us.
In fairness, Ryan Palmer did not help the pace of play last year.
Ryan Palmer was the only person holding us back last year. We'll leave it at that.
Just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, we can get into our picks if you'd like.
It's good.
I can lead it off the outrights if you'd like.
I have my just one play for right now if you want me to go first.
Yes, go ahead and give us that play.
All right, so leader. Thank you. I'll have the rest of my plays out because you guys want to back me since I've been winning money. But besides that, I mentioned earlier that Jordan Spieth is a T20 merchant. at Pebble here. Beach.
Yeah.
However, I'm not going T20 because I don't love the value there. I'm going T10. It's plus money, or at least it was when FanDuel was not broken. I assume it probably still will.
105 or something.
He isn't John Rahm good to be negative money to top 10.
No, he's like plus, and he's in the plus 200s to top 10.
I saw like plus 110 on FanDuel. So
that is very wrong. I'm going to get you a better number than that. I have him plus 110 to top 20.
Yeah, I mean,
he's minus 150 now, but he was plus 110 at one point. I will not let you take that's a horrible number if you got him plus 110.
I haven't put in my numbers yet, so it could change. But I appreciate your kindness, Bob. But so Spieth has played a couple.
So he's only plus 150 now.
Yeah, because people know, like, he's going to be in contention. I mentioned the T20 to him better. He's played here 10 times, not 11. In the 10 times he's been here, he is top 10 six of the 10 times.
Good value.
That's like, I mean, it's not colonial good, but I mean, that's really, really good. He's scoring well. As Bob said, he can top 10 with his B- C+ game. I'm not really too concerned about him not playing well this week. If he doesn't play well, there could be some slight alarms though. But I got him T10. I don't have what I'm going to put on it yet, but that's the only play that I have for certain on my card as of now.
So I can start off with the outrights. And I told everyone that last week that I will rarely put a lot of money on a short outright. And I was trying to justify Spieth 9-1 all week to myself. And in the end, I just couldn't do it. But then he went to 11-1, and I could easily justify that. So 30 on Spieth 11-1 was one of the easiest decisions of my life. As soon as he went to double digits, I would have taken him 10-1. I think he's even 12-1 now some places. The public does not love Spieth. I do. 30 on them. And then at 70-1, 10 on David Lipsky. David's first name? David Lipsky. He fits all the models. So Lipsky is another one of my favorites this week. Do you want me to just give my placements as well?
Yeah, you might as well keep going.
And so I'm doubling up for the first time on the podcast this year, and that is because I'm going with Spieth top 20 plus 110. I saw that at plus money, and I was like, yeah, that's ridiculous. You can still get him minus 120 some places. I'm surprised that the top 10 and top 20 odds are that different. They're usually a lot more. But, like, yeah, I mean, you're looking at Mav McNeely. Mav McNeely, the top 20 is plus 110, and the top 10 it's only plus 160. So, like, a little weird, but, yeah, that was a ridiculous number. So I'm looking at – and I was looking at a lot of people for my last play. I was trying to find my big play of the week, a guy who just fit the top 40, the Bob top 40 model every week. It's my favorite go-to, putting a lot of money on one top 40. And I was between a few. I was between Lashley, Streelman. But in the end, I went with someone. I usually go with a course history guy. And this year, I'm going with a newcomer to Pebble Beach. Who has been playing very well recently. Has top 40'd like six of his last seven. PJ Tour rookie, I believe. And that is Mr. Ben Griffin to take over for Mr. Montgomery top 20 every week. Mr. Griffin top 40 every week could become a thing if he keeps going. So I'm putting 40 on that plus 105. So those are my picks this week. Pretty simple. I'd be lying if I didn't say at one point my card was 10 on Lipsky, 30 on Spieth, and 60 on Spieth top 20. So I was able to back off that a bit. Just give me a chance. But, yeah, Dan?
Yeah, well, I think the Spieth love, as we've talked about it, good week to
– Be careful. I don't want to say that all of this is unbiased. I mean, there is definitely some bias. But, of course, there's some numbers to back this stuff up as well. I mean, again, he owns this golf course, so, yeah.
I'm not being biased with my Spieth play.
I'm not being biased to mine either. I would have been biased if I put all 60, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're just brutally honest with you guys. I mean, we've been probably more negative regarding Spieth than positive. Not that we're bragging that we're, like that, but, I mean, again, Bob said the numbers back him up at Pebble. There's no reason why you should not put your money behind Jordan Spieth this week if you so choose.
We tell it as we see it. I think we're very fair in our comments about Mr. Spieth when it comes to his game. So yes, if there's ever a week where we are this high on Spieth, definitely there's something there. I'm sorry, I'm about to have a coughing fit in a second. Can you go?
Took you a little while to find those words there, but I like those plays. I think obviously course history, talked a little bit about it, is a big deal here. So unfortunately, I actually didn't play the course history as much as I would have liked, but and then I say that, and then I'm going to start with my outright as Tom Hoagie to win.
No bogey, which is like
the ultimate course history play. But he's been flushing it with the irons. And I really might as well just call me Weatherman Dan, because I've been looking at the weather, man, and I really do believe it's going to have a big impact this week. You're going to have to make a lot of putts, and you're going to have to flush it. Like, when it's windy, you just have to hit the ball better. Right. And if you're not hitting it well, you're going to get exposed. So that was my concern with a couple of guys like Justin Rose, who have been actually playing pretty well, but just relying on the putter. Matt McNeely has been just stroking it with the putter, but absolutely just not hitting it very well. So I avoided him as well. But Hoagie's been firing on all cylinders with the iron. So I've went there for the outright. I think I saw him at 22-1. And, like, why not run it back with Tom Hoagie? Like, he's obviously playing well, a lot of confidence. He's done it before. He can do it some more. And then top 20, I've got Seamus Power, plus 125, I believe. Found him at DraftKings. He was up by 6 going into Saturday last year, I think.
Yeah, I had him outright, so.
He kind of folded.
That was devastating.
I think he had just had a top 20 over in Europe. He flushed it over there. He just didn't putt. So coming back here to a place where the putter can flip quickly, ball striking should be solid. So, I like Mr. Power to top 20. And then I went, this is my non-course fit. Van Rooyen has never been here. But he played really well at the American Express. He's played well at RBC Heritage. So I got him plus money at a top 40 at plus 105 or plus 110, I think. I'll double check that, but he played really well at the American Express. Didn't have the greatest fall. I'm also just kind of relying on Andy Lack here. I know that was one of his plays. I read what he was saying and sounded reasonable. So I was like, EVR top 40. A lot of it just because last week I went with some bolder top 40s and Schmidt and Gim. And those did not work.
Thanks, Jaeger.
So, go with the safer plays. And then I've got a little group here. I'm going to David Lipsky. I think this is a good week for him. I've got him at plus 330 to beat Trey Mullinax, Taylor Moore, Matthew Neesmith, who I also really liked, and Ben Griffin, who I also really liked. But went with Lipsky. He's a guy from LA. He's played the Poana before. Neesmith and Griffin are not. They're Southeast. So Poana's, it can be tricky to putt on, but plus 330 there, and I think Lipsky could play some good golf this week and beat those guys. Those aren't the biggest names out there, so and Lipsky, he's just been quietly like hitting it decently for the past couple weeks, and I don't know, maybe this is just David Lipsky's time. So
I would love for it to be David Lipsky's time, because that would win me 700 points, but yeah, I like all those names on your list, because clearly my list influenced your bets.
Well, I don't know.
Whoa.
I don't know about that. That's a lot of arrogance from you, Bob.
Losing. Hey, I love to hear it. It's flattering to me.
That's a low blow from the Bob.
I think it's more just
flattering to me.
Wow.
If you hit the bets for the pod that I don't take here, fair game, fair play.
No, I don't know. I feel like everybody's on the same people every week. I'd argue that you just copy your card off Miss Elise.
I will Ooh. Happily admit to that.
Okay.
Absolutely. I will happily admit to being an Elise merchant.
So that's where I got my plays then.
Well, there is no Elise this week. Which, by the way, congratulations on her newborn, because she did just she just have her second child. So congratulations to her. Huge part of the Go Get That family. So congratulations to her. But yes, I think we'll let the results speak for themselves, Dan.
Yeah, we will.
I haven't taken anyone's plays yet. I'm up $84.
But then again, Jordan does not copy my card, and Jordan's leading. So maybe it's me.
Yeah, well, I will say finding Spieth plus money for a top 20 is interesting. Yeah,
that's very interesting, Bob. Plus 20.
He was plus money for a top 20 at like noon today.
Yeah, he was plus money like 10 hours ago.
And I said it in the chat.
Who set those odds?
DraftKings.
He was plus money for over 24 hours.
That's incredible from DraftKings.
No, DraftKings, nobody was minus money for a top 20.
Yeah. Not even Hovland. No, yep.
It was a little odd.
They definitely messed up. And I jumped on that.
And people, I mean, Spieth's like minus 150, like
135 now.
Hopefully some of our listeners will take advantage of that, because that's wild.
Well, yeah. It's gone now.
Gone now, but I mean, Seamus Power is still plus money. Like,
yeah,
that's fair. You know. I actually, so we're gonna wrap it up here. But I was looking at our good friends over at Data Golf at Mr. Spieth. And Bob, can you give me a reminder what the most important stat is this week?
The most important stat this week
for
is
your Mr. Models
wedge shots, or just shots in general, 125 yards and in.
Yeah. So Jordan Spieth has played, we don't get shot link data from Monterey and Spyglass, but Jordan's played 20 rounds at Pebble Beach. He has gained 24 strokes on approach shots.
Good,
and
hear.
I can guarantee you a large majority of those are 125 and in.
Now, would you like to know something very interesting about this week?
Why not? I like interesting things. I'm an interesting
Would you like
person.
To take a guess at where Jordan Spieth ranks in the field in birdie or better under 125 yards?
What's the range of the data?
It's in the field, so 1 to 150.
So like, what's the timetable from when the data was taken, should I ask?
It's that's interesting. Hold on, let me check.
Like this season?
If it's this season, it's gonna be low, but
within the last year. Okay.
Ooh.
I have a feeling he's going to be
lower.
This is
a very surprising number.
Is he lower than we'd probably hope he is?
Depends what you mean by lower. Number lower? Or
I'd say he's in the 20 to 30 range.
You would be brutally wrong.
Is he...
That's all right.
In this field?
In this field.
Oh, he's probably like... Man, I'd hope he's like fifth. But
no.
My guess is
he's
like
66.
70th. Yeah. That makes sense.
That actually, like, I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like,
makes sense.
I kind of thought it might be bad because I'm, again, shout out to our friends from Data Golf for their new approach skill tool. His wedges from 50 to 100 yards have brutally fallen off over the last year. So, yep. I was kind of trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and say 20th to 30th, which is still for him, like, awful. To hear that's bad, but I get good vibes at Pebble.
I am feeling a victory this week.
He is the most, what's the word? I mean, the highs are so high and the lows are so low. He's very, the variability with Mr. Spieth is wild. And that's why we love him. But this is fun. This stretch coming up is so fun because
here until the Masters is the best stretch of the year.
We've seen him only twice, so you can't really make any assumptions from six rounds of golf. We're going to get, 30 rounds of golf over the next 2 months, so we can really start to see who he is and how 2023 will be.
But, yeah, I think we're good there. Do we have any last non-golf thoughts? I'm trying to think. Do we?
Is there any et cetera sports since we've last talked? We've all been eliminated.
Yeah. Welcome.
Football contention.
Mr. Wardell Curry continues to Cook in the NBA. Thank you.
Dan Celtics are looking good. They are.
They're inconsistent, but
top of the league. We'll see how the play. I would not be shocked if the Warriors win the championship again.
They've just been bloated, folks.
Yeah.
They're starting to turn it around a bit.
They are. They won on the road. We're recording this late Tuesday night.
That was on the road earlier in the year.
Yeah. That's a big time win for them.
And I'm very casual. Like I'm more of a Curry fan than a Warriors fan, to say the least. But I don't get to watch many games just because they're so late. But I would love to see Mr. Curry get another ring, of course, because that's just glorious.
He'd get five. That's a full hand. He'd get a full hand with another one.
And if he gets five, probably I'd make the case to better than LeBron all time.
I mean, it's important to get to five because LeBron's currently at four. So yes.
That would be his argument.
That would be great. But yeah, it's a little bit of weird sports. I don't know. Well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, so with all the events coming up, we'll probably have our recap out Monday or Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. If he wins, which I mean, Bob is predicting here,
could be alive on Sunday night.
So,
Any
closing thoughts here? Daniel,
go Mr. Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
we'll chat with the good people before that, Bob.
We will chat with the good people before that. I just wanted to let it be known that I was very pleased with the result this weekend at Arrowhead.
Correct, not Arrowhead.
Thank you, Mr. Referee, Kelsey, for your head.
No, Mr. Torbert had a great game.
Mr. Torbert had his only good game of his life.
Disgusting. Yeah.
It was great refereeing. Flags were on the field at the right times, but I think that's it. We'll see you on Monday.
If my bets don't hit, we'll just say I didn't place them, and we'll replay them for next week.
That won't be happening, actually.
Incorrect.
Why? They do that in the NFL.
No, Mr. Torbert had a good reason.
That was your joke. That is, I think it was very fair that the play was called dead.
He barely got, barely called it dead by the time the ball was snapped. It's egregiously awful.
Well, to be frank, it was his assistant.
Correct.
No, I'm not talking about Torbert. I'm talking about the assistant.
Who was absolutely correct. But
I mean, maybe he was correct, but he was late in doing so. And then he just stood there like a non-alpha, letting the play develop around.
Oh, he is an alpha.
So
I cannot go as far as to say Mr. Torbert is an alpha, but
and we'll be back on Monday.
We will be back on Monday.
Dan's or pissed. Sunday if Speed
Thanks.
Wins.
Thank you.
Dan's pissed. All right. Take care, guys.
Peace.
Peace.